okay, tomorrow I gotta start doing this, you know. So I break down my days, like, you know, every day had a purpose, and if I didn't, you know, accomplish my task, I'd be behind, you know. So, you know, especially leading up to the Olympics, I had like a 2-week like planner that I typed out, and every day had a, you know, had a different thing I had to accomplish in order to, you know, make it to the finish line, right? And
hey guys, welcome back to Calvation, episode number 15. Today we have a special guest, Jesus Olmedo. It's been a pleasure. He's actually my cousin, part of my family. Before you watch this episode, please subscribe to the YouTube channel or on the podcast. We mean a lot. Keep up with the latest shows. So today we have somebody that's very special, the young guy, talented. He's inspiring many people in the community, including, you know, a lot of people out there. So he is part of the ACF National Culinary Team USA of 2020. He was the youth captain in 2016 back in the Culinary USA, right?
Yeah.
And he's currently the country club of assistant banquet chef.
Yeah, assistant banquet chef with the country club.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we have Jesus Olmedo, man. Thank you
for having me. Thank you.
So tell us who you're about and what do you do?
Right now I'm currently based out of Boston. I'm the assistant banquet chef at the country club in Brookline, Massachusetts. So I oversee different avenues about the banquet area. So we'll oversee different banquet events, different parties, weddings, any large functions that pretty much go on in the clubhouse that we are responsible for.
And I know you told me like you competed like in an international team, competition.
Yeah.
You know, you told me how there's like music going on, staff going on,
many
people.
So how
was that?
So the Culinary Olympics is quite unique, and most people really don't know about it. It's unfortunate because in other countries, this is something that's very much celebrated in their home countries. But in the U.S., you know, we definitely don't get enough publicity. But the Culinary Olympics is exactly what it sounds like. It's the Culinary Olympics. So about 54 countries travel every 4 years, just like the Olympics, to meet together and compete in these different categories, where chefs earn medals, different titles. And I competed in 2016 as the Youth Team USA captain.
How did that feel?
It was a lot of pressure being the captain, right? There's a lot riding on the opportunity and leading the team into success. So I was a captain of the 2016 youth team for the Olympics, and then I most recently competed in Stuttgart, Germany, on the national team.
That was good too.
That was great. It was a different level of
more competitive, right?
They were both very competitive, but as I grew throughout the years, it was a different sense of maturity walking into it, different way of look, different perspective, right? And just the intensity and the level of refinement definitely goes with the title of being on the national team, right? You're competing against the best of the best. There are no barriers, there's no age gaps. You are competing with, you know, professional chefs.
And how did you prepare yourself?
For me, I feel preparing for a competition, just like any major sport event, right? It's an accumulation of hard practice over years of your craft, right? Like, you can't just be green today and then just train and expect to be ready for the Culinary Olympics in 4 years. It's to get to that point, you have to have solid fundamental skills. And I think that's so important. So really training for the Culinary Olympics has been throughout my whole career. It was only at a certain point in time where I decided I'm going to focus in on the requirements that are required for competing in this event. So at that point, I signed up for it. I tried out. So there's a tryout process that goes along with earning a spot on the team to represent the United States. So I earned a spot. Just shy of a few months of my good friend Corey Siegel, who are in the youngest spot ever on National Culinary Team USA, but definitely still within that range. I was 23 when I joined National Culinary Team.
Because I know cooking is a pretty hard industry.
Yeah.
Because I can't even cook. I suck at cooking.
Nah.
So how did you watch a lot of video? Did you have mentorship? Or how did you basically build up your knowledge or like your skills along the way?
For me, developing my skill set comes, I feel, from mentorship, right? So I found an amazing mentor. He is like a father figure for me. You know, he's, I can't say enough good things about him. His name is Chef Leonardi. He's a certified master chef. But I was under his belt about almost going on 9 years now. So when I came to Boston, and I was in culinary school, I was looking for, you know, a job, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend, chef instructor at the school who recommended me to go work for the chef, you know, and she, you know, he himself was on the culinary Olympic team as well. So he was team captain of the national culinary team in 2012. So that inspired me. That really sparked an energy and fire within me to go work for him. I was young, I was hungry, you know, just ambitious. You know, I was 18, you know, and so I walk into his kitchen and I thought, you know, I knew cooking, you know, to a degree because I had been working, you know, as a line cook here in Poughkeepsie for some time before I went to college. So I thought I had like a step up in the game. And then I walk into his kitchen and I was like, I know nothing, like, you know, I know nothing, you know, like I give you like, you know, it's just, I completely you know, just give myself away to the experience. Right. I really engulfed myself into it. You know, he was hard on me and he taught me discipline and the importance of finesse and the details and solid cooking fundamentals that most people, you know, and I urge young students to, that they kind of push to the side and they try skipping steps, but really he stressed so much about those fundamentals and building blocks that really actually helped me in long term with competitions more than I ever expected. So finding that mentor is the reason I was able to compete at that level, and finding a mentor that understands what I was trying to do, right? So he was, you know, the captain of the team 2012, 2008. He was on the regional team that won best in the world in the Culinary Olympics, and then in 2016 he was the team manager for the national culinary team at that time, which, you know, won 4 gold medals. You know, they were, you know, I can't speak enough great things about them.
And do you feel like if you didn't have a mentorship or you didn't have a mentor, would you feel like you would have been as competitive as skilled as you are right now? Or
I think that's definitely a factor because of that mentor. He was very much competition driven, you know, different, you know, in the chef and, you know, the food service industry, we have different chefs that are kind of specialized in different things, right? You have your restaurant chefs, you have your club chefs, you have, you know, your competition chefs, private chefs, you know, the list goes on, you know, educators, and they all focus in different subjects of cooking. So in my field, he saw in me that I was very competitive, and I thrived off of growing through competitions, because when you compete, you know, just like, again, like in major sporting event, you're training for the big show, right? Like you are invested 110% into your training, you know, to be as efficient as possible, to showcase solid cooking skills to judges that are walking around spectating you. So really you are in this high intense program, and you're learning a lot faster than you realize because you're putting yourself out there to compete against the best of the best.
Same thing as boxing, you know, people mm-hmm. train so much, mm-hmm. they train individually, you don't have the coaches going on, and then when it comes to the ring, they have to prepare 100%.
Yeah, and it's all like, you know, a few minutes, like, right? Like, I mean, like, we prepare for 4 years, you know, to compete in the Culinary Olympics, which, you know, for one of the days was like a 5-hour, you know, program, you know, so, you know, it's years worth of training just for what happens in 5 hours, right? Like, it's insane when you really think about it, the amount of commitment it takes to prepare for something like this. But you learn a lot along the way, you know, maybe the results might not come out the way that you have anticipated, you know, and I've learned that through competitions throughout the years, and you know, I don't regret a single thing, and the biggest takeaway was the experience and everything I've learned because I'm just that much more valuable as a person, you know, and I can't say enough good things about competition. It really, I love it. I'm definitely not done. I mean, you know.
You still want more,
Yeah, I still want more. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm young, so I still want more. I'm still hungry, you know. So, yeah. But right now, it is a nice break because I've been nonstop competing for, you know, the past 8 years. So, I mean, right now, I'm kind of just re-honing on some different things.
You're trying to, like, take a break, you know.
For a little bit, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a different animal, a level of stress. I mean, there's no denying that there is a stress aspect of it, and it's built for some people, and it's not built for some people, you know, and that's why there are different avenues for chefs, you know, and there's nothing, you know, not one is right or wrong, it's just different perspectives.
Because there's some people that need a break, you know, whether, you know, meditating, running, exercising, because I feel like when you come back, you feel more creative, like, oh,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I'm fired, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I'm, like, focusing on different things, like, I never realized how much, like, fitness is a factor, you know, because, like, you know, you underestimate the amount of energy you're using within that 5 hour period. Like, imagine, like, you're literally just like an athlete, right? You're running like 100 miles an hour for that short amount of time. Stamina is key, you know, in that competition environment, because you need to keep your mind sharp. You're making decisions along the whole way, and everything is choreographed, and, you know, you can't slow down as you're going. So
let's take a step back before you know, before cooking, before all of this stuff. Did you, like, back in high school, or back in middle school, or like when you were a kid, did you have anything else in mind besides, you know, being a chef, or did you, like, always wanted this to be, like, as a career? Like, I thought it was gonna be safe
for you. For me, I think growing up, I really didn't see anything else. I even still to this day, like,
Did you imagine yourself being here?
I mean, I always wanted to do great things, and I always wanted to be a part of something great, you know, but it's funny, like, I was, you know, in high school, I thought I had my life planned out on the map, just, you know, okay, I'm gonna go to college for this amount of time, and then I'm gonna go here and work here, and then be here by this age, and I started making all these plans, this timeline in my head. And then as I grew in that, I started going through those motions, I realized that all went out the window because so much more greater things started rolling into my life that I had no control over. And I just let it guide me, right? I just let the process kind of take control over my, you know, where I was heading. Within, you know, I still have to make decisions at the end of the day, whether I feel something is right or wrong or there's a better option. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, what was presented to me as I just was involved with the right people always ended up being the best decisions that, you know, I could ever have made. So, you know, moving to Boston was, you know, and staying in Boston wasn't part of the plan. I was going to move back to New York City and then work at, you know, in restaurants. I thought I was going to be like a restaurant chef when I was, you know, 18 in high school, you know. I thought that was what was going
to
happen.
Wait, after high school, you moved straight to Boston?
Yeah, so right after high school, I graduated. I went to Mexico. I did a mentorship program with my uncle, Alejandro Ruiz. He's a great chef down there. So I went and worked with him, find any experience before I went to college. And then when I was in college again, like I said, I met my mentor. And then I just worked for him full time while I was in college, and then finished up college. And then I stayed with him.
So why did I straight out of high school? You just went straight.
There was no turning back. I haven't come back since. So I've just been running since. But that's the process of, you know, it always changes, you know, everything's always changing. So it's hard to plan because I trust that because I'm involved with the people that I am right now, like, you know, my great friends back in Boston who are all great chefs and are also part of the reason I am who I am today. I think that's really important as well. It's a great top subject is finding your group of friends that motivate you, inspire you, and push you to be better than you ever thought you were going to be, right? And that's because of those individuals that I am where I am. You know, that there's no way I could have done all this by myself. There's no way.
So you're 18, you know, you're straight out of high school.
Yeah.
you move away from your friends, you move away from your family. How did that affect you? Like, were you like
kind of homesick? It was hard. I was homesick. Yeah. For the first few years, it was hard because I had no friends.
Yeah.
Right. I went out there, and my college was different. It's not like, it was two floors of a building, so it's not like I went to, you know, a campus, you know, that like a full-on campus that had dorms and, you know, other people that I would see a lot. And, you know, the age was varied in my culinary school. You know, you had people that were, you know, changing careers, and then you had young individuals like myself that were enrolling at the time. So it was very hard to make friends, really. I mean, like, you know, you're not, you know, there's not that college feel that you really think of.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get that experience. But going into, you know, a new city, I've never been there before. I was figuring things out as I went, adulting in a completely different way, right? Like, you have no one to, you know, rely on, you know, by yourself.
And you're 18 too.
And you're 18. Like, you know, you're young. You don't know what, you know, you don't know better. Like, and yeah, I made plenty of mistakes. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong, you know, and, but it was, I wouldn't take it back for the world, you know, like I am so happy I went through that struggling period of time because, you know, I feel that I grew a lot from that.
And all the experiences, like, changed you too.
Yeah, they changed me tremendously as a person.
And then, so from there, when did you start to be very serious about this? You know, was it during the college or?
I'm sorry.
When did you start being serious about, like, you
know? Oh, serious.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I feel like that happened early on. I mean, like, I was fortunate enough to, you know, figure it out very early. So I started, actually, my first actual competition was in high school. Like, it was an FCCLA program, so it, similar to, like, BOCES, you know, they had, like, a culinary program within high school, and I got involved with that, and that was my first taste of competition. And because of that thrill and environment that I was in, and I was young, so, I mean, it wasn't, you know, to the degree that I understand it now, but that it was exciting for me, you know, and that for me drove me to see that, you know, the food service industry is so big that I was so hungry. You know, I was young, I still am hungry, but, you know, like, this is the career for me. I'm not turning back. Like, I'm serious. I'm all in. You know, once I got that ticket to Boston, you know, that's when I realized, you know, I'm giving it my 110%, and I don't see it in any other way. You know, I want to. There was that time period when you're young, you know, you just want to learn everything at once, right? Because you're so hungry, and you're just like, this is so intimidating. It's exciting, you know. And that's what it was for me. And you know, and then little by little, I grew to learn that, you know, there's you can never know it all. Right. So, I mean, I'm going to be learning until the day I die, you know, really, you know.
I feel like learning is a cool way now, you know.
Yeah,
like back then, you felt like learning was, back then you were stuck with school. Like, I feel like learning was, like, not.
Perspective.
Yeah.
It's all perspective. Because, again, people, you know, there are individuals that see it as unnecessary knowledge, right? I don't think there's no such thing as wasted knowledge, no matter what it is, if it's food related or not, for me in my field. You know, so, you know, I've been reading a lot more. You know, I think personal development is huge, you know, and it reflects. It may not make your food taste better, or, you know, but it gives you a more conscious, you're investing in yourself, right? Yeah. You're able to make clearer decisions based off of logic and facts, not based off of emotions, and controlling your emotions is huge, especially in the kitchen, because, you know, things get hectic, you know, emotion drives, you know, things are busy, and being able to make decisions with a clear head about what's right and what's wrong is so important in any business, right? Yeah. And rather than basing your decisions off emotions, you know?
Because I feel like many young people don't realize about that, you know, they're like, oh, why are you reading? Why are you running too much? Why are you focused? Yeah. Why are you so determined? I'm like, if you choose whatever, whether it's music, sports, business, whatever industry you're in, if you find what you like, then you're going to understand, okay, then now I know why people like you.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. No, and again, that's perspective. It's all perspective, right? Yeah. And you can't change people. You can't force them to want to understand what you're trying to portray out, you know? So, you know, if they don't feel that it's valuable knowledge, then that's on them, you know? And then they can figure that on their own. But, you know it in your heart that, you know, that this is this is good. I enjoy this. I enjoy learning this. So I'm going to keep doing it, you know?
And I mean, we'll learn about ourselves right now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. And that's actually, you know, brings up a good point. One of the, you know, and I read this in a great book, you know, one of the best ways to learn is to teach, you know? It's by teaching others, you're reciprocating that information a lot more in your head, and you're pushing yourself into an environment where you now need to demonstrate your knowledge in a way where it's foolproof, right? So by teaching, you're learning, right? So that, you know, I think that's so important, especially when you get to that step as a chef, when you go from a cook to a chef, you now have learned all these skills. Okay, now how can you teach your cooks how to execute what your vision is, you know, in the same style, in the same speed? How can you do that, right? That's a challenge now on, you know, on chefs, you know, that is what separates a cook from a chef, is being able to show and mentor and train and really pass the torch. And that's, you know, again, one of the great traits of the chef that I work under. You know, he was all about mentorship, and he was all about giving. He never asked for anything, you know. He just, if you, you know, he was very stern, you know, he could read through your lies, you know, he could tell if you're 110% in, and if you are 110% in, he'll give you 110%, you know. If you were half there, you know, he's going to give you half, you know, half of his time, you know. I think that's important to understand that, if, you know, your time is valuable, his time was valuable, and he would only invest in those that he felt really wanted it and showed up early and worked hard and did the extra mile. Like, that for him, you know, was what made him want to invest in you. And I think anyone should feel that same way.
And you know, going through this process and journey, was there any like obstacle or any problem along the way? Maybe you had fear, maybe you had anxiety, or maybe like you weren't confident enough. Did you really struggle along the way? Or?
Yeah, I definitely struggled. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I definitely, there was definitely more. I have definitely failed more than I succeeded. Yeah. 110%. I have failed more. I have, you know, there was definitely breaking points in my life. You know, I was biting off more than I could chew at a certain point in my life. So I think it was 2013 going into 14. Yeah. I was trying out for the youth team. I was in college full time. I had a full-time job, and I was training, and I was preparing to do this competition called Student Chef of the Year for the United States, all at the same time, you know. So I was working, you know, I was physically working 7 days a week, because, you know, you train, you know, in the kitchen for these competitions and so on, and mentally, I took a toll on me, you know. I bit off more than I could chew at that, and I didn't know my limits until then. You know, that's when I realized my limits, is that breaking point in my life. And I burned out. Yeah, yeah, I burned out real quick, you know. And then I still went through with it. I still competed, and I still tried out, but the results showed. I got 2 silver medals, and you know, because I was trying to focus on 2 different things, well, 4 different things at once. Yeah. Right, and I think it's important for anyone to understand when it's okay, you know, to pull your foot off the gas for a little bit, right? You need to understand that sweet spot where you're going to be able to do exceptional work and efficient work at the same time, and not burn yourself out, right? Because you know your health is important. That's part of your performance. So, you know, again, I got 2 silver medals. Luckily, I was able to carry on with the youth team tryout process, so that led me to nationals. So then at that point I realized, okay, I'm going to nationals, but I didn't win Student Chef of the Year, so now I can invest all my energy into this one competition. I did that, then went to nationals, I got gold and highest score. So like it shows, right, that you know, if you put your time in where it matters, and you don't spread yourself too thin, the results will show. So, but you know, going back to your point about, you know, struggles and you know, obstacles, you know, there's definitely that self, you know, that block that you have, you always you know, run into, of second guessing yourself. Like, am I on the right path? Could I have done this better? Could I, you know, have dealt the situation in a different way? Right? We're always going to question, you know, our decisions, but you know, I trust you know, the individuals that I surround myself with, that I'm doing something good, and that the decisions I made are for a good reason, you know. But there are definitely decisions I, you know, I make, and then I'm like, oh well, that was a mistake, you know. But I learned. I can't hold on to that. You can't go back and rewrite it. So yeah. I just, you know, accept it for what it is. I look back. I reflect. You know, and I embrace the struggles. I embrace them more than I embrace my accomplishments. Right? I mean, that's what I spend my time most on, is realizing how could I have handled that situation better, you know, and how can I portray myself in a better way moving forward, you know, down the line. Because, you know, more than likely that situation is probably going to happen again in my life. So now that I've gone through those emotions, I'll be a little bit more prepared.
And right now, do you have any like daily goals, or do you have a routine that you prepare yourself? Or not even, but like on a daily basis, do you have any like routines, maybe running?
Yeah. So I mean, like right now, again, like I explained, I'm kind of, you know, taking a break from, you know, what was my routine. Yeah. So this, you know, I focus a lot more on fitness and health. So I like, you know, I exercise about 5 to 6.
It's going well.
Yeah. I usually,
you've been running a lot.
I love running. I love doing cardio. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll run like, you know, 5 to 6 times a week, you know, 2 to 3 miles. Just again, I never realized, until like pretty much the beginning of quarantine is when I made this huge like fitness resolution, and And, you know, I'm not trying to get, like, be, like, a bodybuilder or anything. I'm just trying to be healthy, you know? I want to feel good, you know?
And back then, were you very serious on fitness or not?
No, I wasn't. That's a mistake that I made. I should have probably done this sooner so that it would have reflected into my, my competition and have more stamina, you know, which, you know, again, now I learned from my mistakes, and I'm going to, you know, use them towards my next goal. But going back to your saying, so I'll usually run, and if it's my day off, I'll usually just spend some time reading or watch. So I watch like master classes. You've heard of Masterclass. So I'll usually watch different chefs cook, or you know, just something different, right? Because like I know my style of cooking and the kind of fundamentals that I've been brought up on, but every chef cooks a little different, and there's always something you can learn from, you know, from someone. So I usually spend some time watching those, or I'm just relaxing with my friends, hanging out, just enjoying the breather I have right now. Because, you know, my routine, you know, back when I was full-time competing, you know, it was, you know, get up early, you know, every minute counted. The minute I woke up, the clock started ticking. Like, it was like my mind was running. Like even when I was working or I was like chomping an onion, I'm thinking about what am I going to grab next? What am I going to do? You know, like there was never a break. So mentally it put a strain on me. So, you know, you are living a day to day basis. I couldn't relax. I couldn't sit down and watch TV without, like I'm serious. Like I couldn't sit down and watch TV without, you know, thinking about, okay, I have to finish this timeline. I have to write my equipment list. I need to revise this. I need to refine this. Okay, tomorrow I gotta start doing this. You know, so I break down my days. Like, you know, every day had a purpose, and if I didn't, you know, accomplish my task, I'd be behind. You know, so you know, especially leading up to the Olympics, I had like a 2 week like planner that I typed out, and every day had a different thing I had to accomplish in order to, you know, make it to the finish line, right? And I posted it in my room so that every day I checked off, because that's just how I operate in kitchen. So this is what works for me in life too. So I'll write it down. I have to write it down, and then I just check the box. But that, it was at that point that I had to just make sure I got the most out of my days, which was it's not easy, man.
Not easy. I mean, one day all this hard work is gonna pay off too. So
You know, it's so like it's crazy because like. I love it, right? I love it, but it's so stressful. But I love it because of the end result is just so gratifying. And like looking back and like, yeah, I went through that. You know, I went through that. I was on the national team. Like, you know that for me is the greatest takeaway that, you know, I can't say enough good things about it. You know, and
Do you want to have any advice or any tip for the people that want to be in the food service industry, or that time?
they're definitely easier jobs. Yeah. They're definitely easier jobs and definitely pay more. Yeah. But if you love food and you love cooking and yeah. this is something that you have a passion for, you know, you it's tough, you know, because yeah. I my mindset's a little different. You know, I'm 110% in. But, you know, if you love food, it doesn't matter if you're an educator. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're a personal chef, restaurant chef, club chef. You know, we all love food. We all respect food. We all respect good cooking. So that is something we all have in common. Whether the degree of, you know, intensity you want, if you are looking to compete, you know, or if you're, again, being a personal chef, regardless, fundamentals. That's my advice. Is focus on your fundamentals. Find a great mentor and invest in your craft. Right. Those are the three key things that I think if anyone follows, whatever profession you're in, can guide you towards success. You know. So find your mentor in your field that you find a mentor, or get yourself associated into a network that you can be surrounded by. Individuals that are going to be better than you and be part of that circle, right? Yeah. So that's what I found. I found a group of friends. They're my best friends. And all I wanted to do was be around them, right? Because they all were hungry, just like I was. So we all talked food. We all talked about how to be better. And we all hung out like as normal people as well. Yeah. So like I couldn't have asked for a better group of friends. Like that's a once in a lifetime opportunity that I have in Boston. And you know, once you find the right mentor, you know, invest all your time into that. For the first few years, you're gonna have to grind. You're gonna have to just spend time and understand that it is a process. You are gonna invest a lot of time and you're gonna make a lot of mistakes, but you have to keep going. You have to keep going and know that, you know, there is, you know, you can make it to the finish line. You need to visualize it like, okay, I'm doing this because I love it. And if, you know, you really feel like you're miserable and this is not for you, then that's okay, you know, accept that. But if this is for you, but you have to be willing to understand that it's a process and you're going to be, you know, you're going to fall on your face more times than you are going to make it to the finish line. And then, you know, just enjoy it. Enjoy it, enjoy the process just like any other career, you know, enjoy what you're doing. Love it every day, you know, smile. Have a positive attitude. You know, if you don't have those things, you're gonna be miserable. You know, cooking, you know, unhappy, it shows. It's funny how emotions show in what you're doing. You know, if you had a bad day, you know, it can showcase in your cooking. If you come into work and you know you're all stressed out and everything, you know, prior to coming in, you know, it's gonna reflect in your day-to-day work basis. You know, it's just everything reflects even outside of work. And then you walk in, you know. Emotion's gone. You do what you do, you know. Yeah. So
So before we finish up, I have a few questions. Mm-hmm. It's what I normally do on my podcast.
Yeah.
So first question, waffles or pancakes?
Ooh, pancakes.
Pancakes?
Pancakes. Pancakes. Yeah.
If you had to have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Buffalo chicken wings.
Buffalo chicken wings? Oh, oof. Those are good.
I love them.
Blue cheese or
blue cheese, yeah. Blue cheese?
I'm
a blue cheese guy. I like blue cheese. Buffalo wings, like I can't get off that topic. Like that is just my weakness. Yeah, yeah, that's my last sign, you know, just before I die. Chicken wings and I'll be happy.
If you had to have one superpower, what would it be?
Oof. Flying.
What, flying?
Yeah, flying.
Oh, fly anywhere?
Fly, yeah, just fly, get up and fly. Just go anywhere.
Because of transportation, you know, just fly.
Well, yeah, there. Just why not, you know, yeah. Just like.
That's true.
Flying, yeah. Yeah, you know.
Thank you, Jesus. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, truly.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
Guys, please keep up with the latest shows. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also find him on Instagram, right?
What's yeah, name? I have Instagram. Yep.
Jesus
underscore Olmedo 94.
I'll put it down in the description below. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll keep up with the little show. Thank you so much for watching and see you next time. Bye.